privilege to be a part of a lot of church communities, but I will say, and I might be a little biased here, of what a blessing it is to be a part of a church family that has so many talented musicians and choir, and just how uplifting it is each week. It just seems like all the songs today just reminded us of the season that we're in. We're in the season of Lent. I picked up on the meditation for the prayer that John played, "Poor Wayfaring Stranger." That was my great-grandmother's favorite hymn, Kizzy Prevett, and she loved it. And it's one of those hymns that's good to be played and sung during the season of Lent because it does remind us we're on this journey to Easter to celebrate the resurrection, and it all leads us through the cross. And so it's a time when we reflect inward of our own lives, our own spirituality, and our need for a Savior to better help us in our celebration. So I'm just thankful and just blessed to be a part of that. Thank y'all. There was a lady in Oregon who won the lottery back in 2007. She won over $1 million. And within 2 weeks, she had already spent $30,000 of her winnings. Then the authorities, they discovered that she used a fraudulent credit card to buy her lottery ticket. And the way they discovered it is because even after she had the money in the bank, even after she had all that money, she continued to use this fraudulent credit card. It was her boyfriend's deceased mother's credit card that she was using. And so the authorities, not only did they take away her lottery winnings, they charged her with her crime and they put her in jail. What makes you wonder, why risk that fortune? All that money that she had, why take that risk with this questionable behavior? Why the risky behavior? This is a question that we're going to consider today. It's one that could be asked of one of the characters in our story that we're going to look at, the parable of the prodigal son. Now, we know in our Bible study, in our interpretation, in our application, it can be helpful if we place ourselves within the story, within the parables. Which character do I identify? Which character do I best relate to that helps me understand this truth that Jesus is trying to teach? In the prodigal son, is it the lost son, the jealous brother, or the loving father? I'm going to ask that we try to identify with the lost son this morning as we hear this story that Jesus told. Now, we may have never gambled away our fortune or our inheritance, or we may never engaged in this risky type of behavior in the past. But I will say that I imagine all of us at one point or another in our lives have turned our back on God. We have decided to go our own way, to choose a path on our own and to do our own thing instead of what we feel like and what we know God wants us to do. So as we hear this story, place yourself in it as the lost son. Because it's such a familiar story, I'm going to read from a different translation. This is from the Cotton Patch Gospels, Clarence Jordan's translation, set in 1950s rural Georgia. Jesus went on to say, "A man had two sons. The younger one said to his father, 'Dad, give me my share of the business.' So he split up the business between them. Not so long after that, the younger one packed up all his stuff and he took off for a foreign land where he threw his money away living like a fool. Soon he ran out of cash, and on top of that, the country was in a deep depression. So he was really hard up. He finally landed a job with one of the citizens of that country who sent him into the fields to feed hogs. And he was hungry enough to tank up on the slop the hogs were eating. Nobody was giving him even a handout. One day, an idea bowled him over. 'A lot of my father's hired hands have more than enough bread to eat. And I'm out here, I'm starving in this depression. I'm going to get up and go to my father and say, Dad, I've sinned against God and you. And I'm no longer fit to be called your son. Just make me one of your hired hands.' So he got up and he came to his father. While he was some distance down the road, His father saw him and was moved to tears. He ran to him and he hugged him and kissed him and kissed him. The boy said, "Dad, I've sinned against God and you, and I'm not fit to be your son anymore." But the father said to his servants, "Y'all run quick and get the best suit you can find and put it on him. Get his family ring for his hand and some dress shoes for his feet. Then I want you to bring that stall-fed steer and butcher it. Let's all eat and whoop it up, because this son of mine was given up for dead, and he's still alive. He was lost, is now found." And they began to whoop it up. I imagine a lot of y'all back in the 1950s did a lot of whooping it up. We won't name any names here. Why the risky behavior? Why risk the inheritance? From the outside, at least, for us looking into this family, it seemed like this son had it all. A loving father, a home, food, clothes, shelter, this inheritance which promised him a stable future. So why risk it all for him to take off and go his own way? To help us answer this question, we're going to actually take a step back and look at another story that Jesus told, which is very similar to this parable, one that's intertwined, I think, in all of them. It also comes from Luke chapter 15, which some people say this is the lost and found chapter, where Jesus told the parables of the lost sheep, the lost coin, and the lost son. So let's take a moment and move off the road as the lost son and picture ourselves as that lost sheep into the field, into the pasture. George Buddock, a preacher, he commented on this lost sheep story with these words. The farmer came down the lane, got astray, he said. "How did they get lost?" asked the city man. "They just nibbled themselves lost," said the farmer. "They keep their heads down. They wander from one green tuft to another. They come to a hole in the fence, and then they never find a hole by which to get back again." The city man answered, "Like sheep, like every generation of foolish men." Here, Buttrick was not so much blaming the sheep for their situation and them getting lost, but he was describing their condition. It's in the sheep's nature to wander off, to get lost. And it seems then, too, that all of our generations have also wandered off and found ourselves lost. You know, as sheep, we're born responsible. We're created in the image of our Creator God. But we mess up. We fall short. We wander off. The Bible says that all of us are like sheep, and we have gone astray. We have all turned to our own way. Folks, we all know that we're smarter than sheep, but there's some times that we've done some pretty dumb things. But it's in our nature to wander off, to get lost. And that's so why it's so easy to go astray, to take the path down the road which we choose instead of the path that God's chosen for us. Sometimes when we take that path and we do our own thing, we find ourselves making some choices which we would define as sin. And we've talked about this before. Sin can be illustrated as if we're shooting for a target. We're trying to hit the bullseye. But when we sin, it's we're missing the mark. We're missing the target altogether. The lost son found himself missing the target, missing the mark, making some choices in his life, committing some sins that he wasn't happy about, that later caught up to him. Then when we find ourselves wanting to make a life change, to repent of those sins, this word repentance means a 180 an 80-degree turn. An illustration that this lost son, he's found himself at rock bottom. He's eating the same food as the pigs. And he's realized that he has to make a change. So he repents of his sins. He makes a 180-degree turn, and he heads back to the loving Father. Let's take a moment, and as we are looking at ourselves as lost sheep, let's focus a little bit on this shepherd, this good shepherd, this loving shepherd that we have in God. Shepherds were responsible for all the sheep. And in some cases, it wasn't just the shepherd who owned the sheep. They could be owned by the entire village. So if one or more get lost or get killed, then the village would suffer, which means they wouldn't have food or clothes or shelter because the sheep were their livelihood. So it was very important for the shepherd to be responsible, to watch after all those sheep. And the shepherd, knowing this, would put his life in danger to protect those sheep. We see one of the heroes of the Old Testament, David, when he was a shepherd out in the fields, he put himself in the face of danger and even fought a lion to protect his sheep. And the shepherd knows that the sheep are going to wander, they're going to drift. But that shepherd is very persistent in finding and searching after them until all are found and safe. Seeing God as this shepherd, this loving Father, as Jesus tells us this story, this parable, there are several truths that we can identify. First one is that God loves all the sheep. In the story, Jesus says there's 100 sheep. One goes lost. So does the shepherd stay with the 99 to still make sure that they're safe? He leaves those 99 and he goes to find the one that's lost. I know back in my shepherding days, it would have been easy for me to make the choice to look at it rationally. Well, I still have 99 to protect. This one sheep just wandered off. It was his own fault. He should have looked up and paid attention to where he was going, but instead he's off on his own cause, so whatever happens to him, he deserves. God cares for all the sheep. God goes through a lot of trouble to find that one lost sheep. He doesn't give up. God doesn't give up trying to find that one lost sheep, but do we? I'm ashamed to say that there are times that I haven't looked as diligently as Jesus did for those lost sheep. I'll try to justify it by saying that I'm too busy, or I'm too tired, or I'm not qualified enough to go out and to search for those that are lost. But Jesus, later on in Luke in chapter 19, he goes and he finds one lost sheep, Zacchaeus, a tax collector, a sinner, someone that he wasn't even supposed to be dealing with. But he makes that effort to reach out to one who's lost. It's not a part of the religious folks or the church, and he saves them. We see in Jesus how God is still searching for the lost sheep. Through him sending his son, his one and only son, to save us of our mistakes, our bad choices, our sin. And we see here finally that when the lost sheep is found, God is excited. He is full of joy. His heart is full. What does he do? He rejoices. When the lost sheep is found, he rejoices. When the lost coin was found, they rejoice. When the loving father sees that lost son return home, he rejoices. as we see ourselves as this lost son who's went our own way at one time or another in our lives. And we're returning back to the loving Father. Sometimes we get lost because of our own choices. We go our own way just because we don't want to do what God's wanting us to do. We've got it in our own mind, our own stubbornness, that we're just going to do what we want to do. Sometimes we find ourselves lost by inaction. God's calling us to do something, but we don't do it. There are those that need to be helped. There are other lost sheep that are out there. God's gifted us. God's equipped us. But we're reluctant to go for whatever reason. Too tired, too busy, too whatever. Picture ourselves as this lost son returning back to the loving Father. The Father is there, staring at that same spot where he last saw his son disappear, watching, waiting, patiently, never giving up. And when the son appears and he starts to come down the road, the Father just didn't stand there and wait. I imagine that immediately he forgives him. And he takes off down the road, running, his heart full of joy, weeping. And he gets to his son and he embraces him and they're both crying. And he says that because what is lost is now found. Folks, today, if you find yourself lost, then the challenge is just return back to God. Realize that the choices that you've made, the sins that you've committed, aren't going to get you where you need to be going. But instead, if we can repent of our sins and turn and head back to our loving Father, Jesus tells us, Jesus promises that God will forgive us, that God will embrace us, that God will celebrate, because from what was lost is now found. You may find yourself today doing great. You know that we're not lost, but for whatever reason, we haven't been doing what God wants us to do. We have been serving God to the best of our abilities. You may find a newfound call or God placing a burden on your heart to try to reach out to help someone who's lost. And all the excuses in the world start coming up. I'm not equipped. I'm too busy. I'm too tired. It could be something as simple as just taking one night a week, or one night a month, to go and tutor kids from inner city Shelby who don't have a very positive home life for all we know, who need that positive attention, that positive encouragement, or someone just to spend time with them, help them with something simple as math homework. Whether you're lost or you're found, this morning, during our time of response, we'll have the opportunity to be challenged, to be respond. It may be simply just standing up and coming forward. I'd be happy to pray with you. Or it could be just sharing with what God's challenging you to do. And I'll commit to praying for you for the next week and month ahead to keep you accountable in fulfilling God's call in your life. But wherever you're at today, I challenge all of us to respond to what God has shared. Will you join me now as we pray? Lord, we know that we've all turned our back on you at one point or the other, and we found ourselves lost, going our own way. But we thank you for teaching us, for promising that you're always going to be there for us, that we can never go far enough away where we can't make it back to you. God, if there are barriers in our way that are keeping us from returning to you, if there are sins in our life that we need to confess to you, Lord, I pray you will remove those barriers. You will bring those sins to light so that we can confess them to you, so that we can repent and return to you. God, I thank you so much for welcoming us back, for always forgiving us, but most importantly, for your love that you show to us through sending your Son Jesus to save us of our sins. Pray, God, that you will just continue to be with us. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. I invite you now to stand as we sing our hymn of invitation, our hymn of response, hymn number 294, Have Thine Own Way, Lord.